Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back once again for The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. It's being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. We promise a great show, and we deliver every week. We've got Steve Cohn out of New York. Steve is author of Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Powerlines.biz is the website. We understand there's a little bonus on that site for you as well. So we'll talk with Steve here in just a moment. As a matter of fact, three segments. Also on today's show, momentarily, Jean Bliss, the customer experience. She's going to be talking about Zappos. Brad, have you ever bought anything off of Zappos?
I think that's a lighter you light cigarettes with. No, that's Zippo.
That's a Zippo.
No,
that's
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. And Zappos, it's an online store, and it's got a lot of great stuff going. Patrick Meyer, the marketing insider, is talking about the iPhone today here.
Oh, well, sure.
Why not? He's a good guy.
What's he bitching about the price?
I don't know. We'll find out. That'll be a little bit later on in the hour here on the advertising show. You know, a long time ago, this goes back to the days when we were kids, Britain, the recording industry in Britain, had limitations, actually, on how loud the bass could be on music. In other words, they didn't want to rattle windows. They obviously didn't have any subwoofers back then. Maybe they did, but, you know, they had limitations, very strict limitations, as you would expect a Brit to have. So now what they're trying to do is we fast forward to the 21st century. It's basically, no noise, please, we're British. In Britain, the regulators moved this past month to dial down the volume of television commercials. How about that? The Broadcast Committee of Advertising Practice, we'll call them the BC of AP, which sets guidelines for the industry, adopted a new rule saying that television ads should not be excessively noisy or strident. That might sound straightforward, but gauging the loudness, not to mention the stridency of advertisements, is complicated according to the regulators, and that is how some broadcasters have gotten away with running ads that the neighbors might hear. Many ads, according to the committee, there's a killer right there, use a recording technique called audio compression. It shrinks the range of the sound in the 30-second spot. This way, the ads can remain within previous guidelines, which typically prevent advertising from being louder than the maximum volume of a program. And, you know, that's a truth. We have that here.
We know about compression.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You know, when we submit audio, and these networks, all of them, have very strict guidelines, and they will reject a spot. And they have the right to reject a spot, not only based on content, obviously, but on the overall loudness. For instance, when we mix high-def audio or 5.1 surround audio, it has to be at minus 20 dB. And if it's not there, it's like, sorry, bub, mix it over. You got to do it over again. So we kind of have that thing here.
Yeah, Power Lines is not just speaking real loud, as Steve will tell us. It's actually words that sell, as you say, grip fans and so on and so forth. So,
exactly.
That's a good point, Ray. You know, you and I are beer fans. There's no secret about that. We spoke about that on the show.
Right.
This may be surprising to you. It was to me. Coors Brewing is managing, out of some craziness, to actually create greater sales that have never been seen in decades within the beer industry, with all four of its largest brands routing its competitors during this past year, Ray. According to an editor of Beer Marketers Insights, there hasn't been a larger brewer post percentage gains such as this since the 70s. In the past year, Ray, Coors brands have dramatically outperformed their competitors, and it's all credited to a single-minded, if not mind-numbing, obsession with brand attributes. You remember the Rock On campaign from 2004, which is the, the TNA driven spots with the Coors twins. Well, apparently when they got away from that and got into a newer campaign, they really knocked their competitors in the dust there with AB as well as Miller, far superior to them in terms of sales and increases over the past year. So congrats to Coors, and if you don't mind, Ray, please pass me another cold import. We don't drink Coors, do we?
Well, when it's available, when it's the only thing
you mean
available.
If that's,
yeah, exactly.
But if it's a light Coors, you're still going to have one?
Yeah, I'd have to put it in something, you know, maybe with a little salt and lime or something like that.
Yeah, it's I'll okay just go stuff. With the water. It's pretty close.
Yeah,
anyway.
How true, how true. Let's find out what Zappos is all about here with Gene Bliss on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to the Customer Experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Zappos is an internet shoe store that's known around the world for its service. One of their connections with customers has been that they actively promote that they give free overnight shipping of orders and also return shipping. Recently, Zappos decided to stop advertising that every customer would get overnight shipping of their orders, because they opted instead to surprise as many customers as they could with upgraded overnight shipping. They still give everyone free shipping, just not overnight in all cases. Some have taken Zappos to task for that, but I actually praise them for this decision and their explanation. Zappos said that they made the decision not to advertise or promise free overnight shipping because they found that customers were happier when they were surprised by the upgrade. They acknowledged that they would probably get more customers if they continued to market the free overnight shipping as opposed to surprising customers with it, but they want to be known as a customer service company, not a marketing company. Now that's a company that knows how to distinguish themselves with customers all the way down to their souls, pun intended.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss, here on the Advertising Show, the Customer Experience. It's a regular feature, and we always enjoy that, too, as well. It's Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show. Steve Cohn just about to join us. He's in our green room. It's a virtual green room, and we stock it with virtual stuff, like, imported beer and stuff. Steve is Chief Marketing Officer for Epsilon, a leading provider of data-driven marketing technologies and services. He's established an industry-wide reputation for programs that drive results, strengthen brands, and deepen customer relationships by communicating relevant, highly targeted messages across a spectrum of media and integrative campaigns. He does it all. It's a book called Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Powerlines.biz is where you're going to find out more about that. And, of course, we'll find out a lot more about Steve and his book and what that's all about, too, here in the upcoming segments on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Okay. I'm going to give you 30 seconds again here. What do you got?
Well, I think the only thing I want to say is I was looking over some material for Steve's interview, and one of his top 10 taglines of all time, we're going to talk to him about this, is you don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's rye bread, which is a statement that was coined by our friend George Lois, who's been on the show repeatedly, I believe. We'll confirm that with Steve next segment.
Okay, great. Then we'll do it that way. Hope you stay with us here with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth on the Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream. Just a little
As
dab.
As promised on The Advertising Show, our special guest, Steve Cohen, is author of Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Steve, it is such a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Brad and Ray, thanks for having me.
Yeah, let's clear up that you don't have to be Jewish to love
Levy's.
Levy's. I'm sorry, Levy's.
We call
Levy's
in New York. You can call Levy's in Texas. That's fine.
Yeah, well, that's all right. So who was it that
the
developed
that? Either way, which reminds me of another tagline, which miscommunicated, but the thought is the same. The tagline, the very successful tagline for Las Vegas, which every American over the age of 12 can recite, right?
Right, but it's wrong.
And what they will repeat back to you, 100 out of 100 times, is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
But what happens here stays here.
It's Las Vegas. What happens here stays here. Yeah. That's an unusual occurrence when a line is so well known but always misspoken. But that's because your brain decides that it's going to remember it in its simplest form. And it's the same thought, and it's a very successful line, because the first time you hear it, you nod and you go, that's exactly what that product, i.e., in this case, Las Vegas, is.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Plus, the line gets two hits on the product, in this case Las Vegas. The mispronunciation of the tagline gets two emphases on the product, that being Las Vegas, rather than just the one, the way it's normally to be set up. And I mentioned George Lois, and you mentioned off the air that Bill Birnbach and his firm was the one attributed to the tagline we were just speaking of. And George Lois, who's been a guest on the show and worked as, like he would like to say, for Bill back in the late 50s and early 60s, he said on our show many times that if you could make a tagline become a part of the culture, then you've really done something. I think you would agree with that, wouldn't you, Steve?
I wrote the book because it's a lost art today. It used to be the first thing that a marketer did to launch a product, a brand, a company, a candidate, and now it's an afterthought. And it's absolutely a lost art. And when people do decide that the tagline's important, they do what I call the three terrible T's. They use the wrong type, they use the wrong type size, and they use the wrong type of line, i.e. a platitude. Then they wonder why no one knows it.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. I want to get into some of the specifics about your book, and I got to tell you, it's a great read, and Ray and I both would like to recommend to all of our listeners to check out Power Lines, and I assume you can find that at your local bookstore or Amazon.com. Let's start with the basics. Steve, what exactly or how would you define a power line?
A power line is a few words, a few well-chosen words that crystallize your brand promise, as another famous ad legend from years ago, Rosser Reeves used to say, crystallizes your unique selling proposition, so that it's remembered basically for all time. And one of the points I make in the book over and over again, which people don't listen to today, is never change a great line. Never change a great line. The line doesn't go out of fashion. The line, some of the smart companies out there have kept the same tagline for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Yes, the marketing around that line will change, and the product mix will change, but the brand promise should never change.
You know, we made note of that, and I think that's such an important point. So many times an agency will pick up a new account or a marketer will select a new agency and the agency feels compelled to change what really in some cases a wonderful tagline, and they do it just because of a, you know, not created here kind of attitude. And plugging a past guest and a wonderful human being, Phil Dusenberry was a guest a couple times here on the advertising show. The guy that not only ran BBDO, but and a legend as well, but the person behind the GE tagline. And I'll let you say what the GE tagline was, Steve.
Well, there are, gentlemen, there are two reasons why people change taglines and shouldn't. One reason is because a company just changes management entirely. Mm-hmm. And the new management goes, well, you know,
we need something new.
We can't be identified with the guys we replaced. That happens all the time. And then the other thing that happens when that doesn't happen is the new chief marketing officer in town comes in and says, how do I justify my fat salary and all those stock options that the other guys would have gotten if I wasn't here? Well, mm-hmm. I better come up with something. And the easiest thing to do is say, hey, this is what we stand for now.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And
hey,
GE is a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
They had a memorable line set to music that everyone knew that actually defined every business at GE, regardless of the type of business, right, which is GE, we bring good things to life.
Right.
And then, you know, a hotshot CMO came in, and she's a very smart woman, and she, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about her mental capacity. But, you know, all of a sudden, we got to have something different because, you know, that line doesn't work anymore, according to who, I don't know. And they came up with a line that now they've put millions against internationally, no one knows.
Mm-hmm.
And the line is imagination at work.
Right.
Mm-hmm. One of the, I mean, it breaks a few rules. One, well, first of all, you shouldn't have replaced the earlier line in the first place. Secondly, imagination's got too many syllables and it's hard to remember. And thirdly, as I kind of cheekily point out in my book, I don't know if cheekily is a word.
It is now.
What I point out in my book is I'm not sure, and I've heard this from GE. By the way, I talk to GE employees here and there and everywhere who don't know what the tagline is.
Wow.
That should
oh,
tell
boy.
You something.
Yeah.
But do you want imagination on the assembly line of jet engines or nuclear reactors, right?
yeah,
I don't
true.
Think so.
That's funny. I'd rather have it be safe. Yeah, we bring new things to life is a lot better there. Steve Cohn is our special guest on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens. Brad Forsythe, the brand new book is called Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. We have more for you in just a moment.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
This is the show that your mother told you not to watch or listen to. It's the Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Glad you're here. Also glad to have Steve Cohn as our special guest here. Steve is author of a brand new book called Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great tagline, by the way, Ray. The Advertising Show, the program you're grandmother told you not to listen to. And that's memorable, too. It has all the working elements of a successful tagline. This being an election year, Steve, I'm curious, how is Clinton, McClain, and Obama doing with their political taglines? And by the way, I understand that it's true that presidential candidates with the best slogan usually win the race. Is that true?
I analyzed every campaign since 1840, and I can rattle off each one. and my assessment is that in every case where one candidate had what I consider to be a superior slogan, they won. And in every case where both candidates had lackluster or lame slogans, it's been a close election. Hmm. And in fact, with one exception, that's been the case since what I consider to be the best slogan in the last 30 years, and nothing good since, was the 1984 campaign between Reagan and Mondale. Reagan had an ad legend write his slogan, Hal Riney, who died, you know, a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. which was, "It's morning again in America." And but let me back up a half step. Slogans, to be successful in politics, have to do one of two things. They either should reinforce the personality of the candidate in a positive manner, mm-hmm. Or they should specifically focus on a huge issue that voters will rally behind. Since 1984, with one exception, there's been no slogans with any personality or any major issue focused on. The only one that was kind of cute after 84 was 92, Ross Perot from your state with Ross for Boss.
Yeah.
So how are they doing this year with?
I give them anywhere from a D minus to an F plus. So that should answer your question.
Oh God, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I
would say Obama's change, I thought was one of the better, frankly.
Yeah.
That ties in with his message and his personality.
I give Obama the best mark, but only because it's a happy accident that change is usually a word that's dead on arrival.
Yeah.
In this particular window of American history, people want to change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And what I think Barack Obama has done well is recognize that. I don't think you needed a lot of foresight to see that. But what he hasn't done well is he, and this is something that I've noticed, and I don't think a lot of other people have noticed, but I think it's working against him. The word "we" is a very bad word to use. Change, we can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And when he talks about his candidacy, he uses the word "we" about 99% of the time.
Hmm.
And my advice for him is, we aren't running for president.
Right.
I am running for president.
Hmm.
And that's why he gets, you know, some, that's why he's gotten some negatives on, you know, he's above everyone. He's kind of got this kind of elitist feel to him. He's not distracted, but not in kind of the thick of things, and not really connecting with middle America and older America.
Mm-hmm.
He should be doing, this is what I'm going to do. You know, change.
Right.
You know, I can believe in that. You can too. You
know? Right. So the McCain campaign with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good. It's probably not good either.
Well, John McCain started out months and months ago with his bus and the big sign on it, the Straight Talk Express. And he should be
interesting.
He should be campaigning with Straight Talk as a slogan.
Yeah.
I'm telling it like it is. I know you won't agree with me all the time, but you know, this is a perilous time in American history, and we've got big issues, and you need to know the truth, and then we need to figure out what to do about it.
Wow.
Straight Talk is what he should be doing, you know, to Election Day, as opposed to what he's using now, McCain for president, which is about as lame as what Hillary's been using. Hillary for president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hillary should be injecting some personality and attitude into her slogan. It's a little late now.
Yeah.
Like something like, Hillary, everything else is downhill, you know.
I like that. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. The book is called Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History, with our special guest, Steve Cohn. And we've got another segment of the interview coming your way here in just a moment. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call.
Well, if you've had a chance to stick around a little while longer, you've got one more segment here with Steve Cohn, author of Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Steve, it's great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to save – yeah, well, thank you, Steve. And we're going to make sure and hit on your six essential elements for Power Line success, and we'll do that in just a second. But first, most of the time a tagline is read, but you stress the importance of sound and hearing a tagline. Why is the sense of sound so important with a power line, as you call it? And give us some examples of what you're talking about here.
Well, you know, sound is way more powerful, as I describe in the book. Sound is way more powerful than sight. And, you know, example anyone can identify with is if you think of your favorite movie and think of watching it with no sound, it has basically zero impact. In fact, when movies were first invented and they had no sound, the theater owners learned very quickly that they needed to get a piano player in there to make sound, or people would start leaving about 5 minutes after the lights went down.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, all animals have evolved with a keen sense of hearing, which they trust a lot more than what they see, because sight can be very deceiving. And of course, you know, when a baby's born, they don't see very well, but they hear very well. And obviously, you speak and hear long before you learn to read and write. So those are just a couple examples of what evolution has done. The net effect is sound makes the brain pay attention way more than any other sense.
But as you've identified in your book, if you're going to use it in a print way, there's certain type style and certain emphasis. Yeah, exactly. Well, let's get into some of the technique here. Take us through the six essential elements for a power line success, and talk a little bit about each particular one, beginning with the idea that the tagline must convey a genuine truth.
Right. I mean, it should be clearly descriptive and talk to something that can't be repeated by others in the category. So an example would be BMW came out 40 years ago with the ultimate driving machine, and because they got to that point first, no one else can claim that, right?
Right.
Another point I make is that a tagline has to be 100% true, so that people, I mean, if you overreach, and people are overreaching today all the time, particularly, for instance, with the word life, which I talk about in the book. There's about 50 major companies now all using life in their taglines, mm-hmm. like life takes Visa. Well, you know, life doesn't take Visa. Merchants take Visa. And American Express with my life, my card. You know, my whole life does not revolve around my credit card. Maybe at bill paying time it does. But So another point I make is you've got to have personality and attitude. In an environment where $40 billion a month is spent on promotion, how can you get your brand promise through to the consumer and stick in their mind, not only now, but, you know, every week, every month, when they think about you because of the category that they need to purchase in? You've got to come up with something with wordplay, personality, and attitude, as opposed to you know, the bland kind of generalities that most people use today. And then to your earlier point, the next kind of rule is the line, the headline or the head sound. It should be the headline of every promotion you do. And years ago, campaigns were centered around the tagline, whether it was for Coke with the real thing, or whether it was for Marlboro, come to Marlboro Country, or Bill Birnbach's genius campaign for Volkswagen back in the 60s, Think Small, or mm-hmm. for John Deere Company, Nothing Runs Like a Deer. In the insurance industry, you're in good hands with Allstate, which they're still using after 40 years. You got to make it. It should be, if it's your brand promise, then it should also be your headline. And then another Steve rule is that it should be integrated into every customer touch point.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that rule is broken over and over and over again. And I think my last point is, as I said earlier on the show, never change a great line because you'll never do one better.
Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're a smaller advertiser, not someone off Madison Avenue where your CMO or your agency will convince you that you need a new tagline. If you're a small to mid-size advertiser, remember, if you're growing tired of your own tagline and your friends and family think that you need something new or fresh,
everybody else is just getting it.
Just picking up on it. So, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. Step away from your
go take a walk. Pen. Go run around the block or go swim between Alcatraz and San Francisco or something like that.
People don't walk around all day long thinking about you. We wish they did, but they don't. They only think about you when they're about to make a purchase decision.
Unfortunately, Steve, we are out of time here. There's so many good things to talk about, and, of course, they're in the book, too. Power Lines, Words That Sell Brands, Grip Fans, and Sometimes Change History. Powerlines.biz. Go there, find out more. You've got some bonus chapters there, I understand, which is really cool. So great book, continued success, and thanks for being here at the Advertising Show.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
And we've got Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth, and one more segment to give you here in just a couple of moments. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Well, hello, boy. Now, what do you say?
Let's make with the popcorn right away.
Too much trouble and bother.
Steve
yes,
Cohn's book is a gas. Got to go get it and enjoy it as well. That's powerlines.biz, the website. With Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, back with you for one more segment here. We've got Patrick Meyer on the way. He's going to be talking about iPhones here momentarily as well. Next week, we have Scott Davis, who is a senior partner at Profit. And so we'll find out more about what Scott is doing and what's cooking in that arena as well. So the $3 million, you want one?
Sure, I'll take just 50% of that.
50%. So you get a 15 instead of a 30, I guess.
1.5 million. That's correct.
Yeah. Super Bowl has always been a tough ticket. Now NBC is telling advertisers it'll cost them $3 million to get into the game for 30 seconds.
Mine was a 15.
That's what I was saying. You got a shorter spot, which is okay.
Oh, I see.
Buy bookends. I don't think they do bookends at that thing.
Oh, I don't think so.
So they announce $3 million to be the entry price for commercials. For the 09 Super Bowl, and that's pretty cool. So you know,
well, it's one of the last venues where you really get a wide cross section of the United States consumer. So I'll bet that they'll command that rate and sell out as they usually do.
Well, sure they will. Yeah, why not? Yeah. I mean, it's a great
depending on what the economy's doing in January.
Get your checkbook out if you're planning, and actually probably want to start saving. That's a good thing.
Right. That's February, by the way, instead of January, right? I think I misspoke there.
Okay. It's sometime. I'm not sure. I'm not actually not that big of a football fan, so sorry to say.
Yeah.
What do you have there?
Well, you know, Ray, Hulu.com, which we've talked about, the web video venture from News Corp as well as NBC, is reporting surprisingly good numbers in terms of usage. Recently, the site announced its service would be distributed on 7 new sites, in addition to reporting that usage of Hulu.com surpassed that of other television network websites, including those owned by News Corp and NBC. Its new distribution partners are TV.com, TVGuide.com, Bud TV, Flixster, and others. Users watched 63.2 million videos on Hulu.com and its distribution sites in April. This, according to Nielsen. Now, by contrast, watching 129.3 minutes per month. Now, Hulu's nearest rival was Walt Disney's ABC.com, which drew 60 million plus video views, but an average time spent of less than half of Hulu's, that being 57.3 minutes per month. So they've got the viewership, they've got the numbers, and it'll be interesting to see if Hulu.com becomes the destination web video site for the consumers out there, the people that want to watch TV on their computers.
Or their iPhones, right?
Or something their iPhones.
Like that. There we go. That's Patrick Meyer's talking about that today on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
Today I'm going to rant and rave not only about the iPhone, but about Apple and what they've done in the last 10 years. So here are a couple of lessons learned looking at the iPhone that you can apply to your business as a marketer. Number one, they were down and out 10, 15 years ago as a small computer company that was struggling relative to PC. But their mantra, their positioning was all about think differently. And when they built products, they focused on the consumer and delivering a different experience that enabled that consumer to have a better lifestyle. So when they came with iPod, as an example, completely upset the category, different form of solution. Then they came with waves of iPod, different colors, different sizes, enhanced. So they completely took the category by storm. Then they went forward and came with the iPhone. And the iPhone is not a cell phone. The iPhone happens to be a personal enabling device that gives you everything from cell phone to entertainment to texting to emails and beyond. But across all of this, there were times when they didn't have product news and they filled in with marketing news. When they came with U2 and Bono in a special edition of the iPod. Or the day that Rosa Parks died and immediately on their website was a picture of her that saluted her and said, think different. For next year's marketing plan, or whatever you're working on as a marketing and advertising professional, map out the next 12 to 18 months of what do you have that's news? What do you have that you could tap into? What are things that your target audience is passionate about that relate to your brand or could relate to your brand? In the case of Apple, think different. In the case of your brand, it's whatever its essence is. So think like Apple, think episodic.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer as your Marketing Insider. And remember, the revolution is now. Hey, you want to know more? Go to nowinc.net or send me an email at patrick@nowinc.net.
As always, great stuff from Patrick Meyer on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. And again, next week, our special guest, Scott Davis, senior partner at Profit on theadvertisingshow.com. Being powered by Shipple.com. Shipple has a program and a platform called Tendency. It is an incredibly powerful marketing tool. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. We spell that because we want you to go there. All right. Name changes. I just can't imagine being in the Yellow Pages business these days. I just, you know, would be thinking of updating my resume or something. And I know there are people out there that say, I swear by the Yellow Pages. And I suppose in some industries, that's true, but there are so many alternative options as well, and it brings to mind the fact that they update the directories to put more advertising in or something, I guess. I don't know. But the Battle of Phone Directories, Yellow Book, which used to be two words, changed its name to Yellow Book, one word, and broken. No, it's just Yellow Book, and broken integrated campaign with a tagline, say yellow to the future. The effort follows AT&T's bid to position its product, Real Yellow Pages, in two simultaneous campaigns launched this spring. So basically, large phone directories, they say, commanded 13.4 billion searches last year compared with 3.8 million online searches for the Yellow Pages Association. That's they have an association. Yes, they do. So Yellow Book, now one word as opposed to two. Obviously, they do the print and the online directories, so that's good. So single word to better reflect its digital offerings on yellowbook.com. Okay, sure. So that's why they did that. Speaking of powerful words and all that kind of stuff like today's show that we talked about. So that's
you know, it's interesting, quickly, that you can get free information by calling 1-800-FREE-411 if you're willing to listen to a commercial. And my wife and I use that when we're out with our cell phones, because they charge you an arm and leg for information through your cell phone. So Yellow Pages, I agree with you. A medium will once explain to our grandchildren that really existed.
Yeah. Really, Grandpa? Advertising show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. Hope you enjoyed the show today, and hope you'll be back with us next week here at the Advertising Show. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.